Hello, and welcome back to WSPE, your worst shaving podcast ever. We have episode 6 of season 2 for everyone today to enjoy, and I hope you do enjoy it, because living up to the name, we are barely talking about anything shaving related. Now, I do go into detail on some of the things that I've experienced recently. I do go into detail about some of the things that are on the horizon for the shaving community that I think you will find interesting. But we also just have a fun casual chat between friends about stuff kind of going on in the cinematic community, which I think you will also enjoy. So please sit back, relax as always, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of WSPE, your worst shaving podcast ever. I'm your host, Tim Tillock, joined as always by my co-host, Brian Yost of Yost to Coast. And you guys know how it is. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
Pretty good. Wish the weekend wasn't ending as soon as it was, but you know, it's been a productive weekend. The weather outside has been fantastic. So I ain't complaining.
That's good. And my birthday was Friday, so...
Oh, yes! It was your birthday. I totally almost forgot after I've wished you the obligatory Facebook, hey, it's your birthday kind of thing, but how did that go?
It was good. It was good. You know, it's nice to be able to celebrate this year since last year, you know, nobody could celebrate.
Yeah.
So last year I sat at home and felt sorry for myself. This year I got to go out and hang out with some good friends and experience some fun things and... got really, really drunk and don't remember most of the night, but you know, that was the best part. That was the best part.
Yeah. That's the best part about celebrating a birthday is just getting blackout drunk and not remembering any of it.
I mean, at my age, it hurt. The next morning sucked, but it was worth it. It was really worth it.
And I mean, maybe I'm pressing a little bit. You don't have to answer to our listeners here, but I did see you posting on Instagram about some of your quote unquote friends that you hung out with on your birthday night. Yes. What's that all about?
Angie is the lady I've been hanging out with lately, and she put on quite a show for me for my birthday. She went all out. I went to this really fancy Italian restaurant, and she knows my obsession with bourbon, so she took me to a local distillery here in St. Louis called Still 630. Shout out to them because they make some amazing products. It's literally a two-man operation, and they make some amazing bourbons. So I got to go there and do like a tasting, try all these different bourbons that they're working on. And granted, I was pretty drunk, so my inhibitions were low, and I ended up spending $180 on bourbon.
Christ.
I was like, oh, I'm going to buy this. Oh, I'm going to buy this. But it's okay because it was fun, and it was a good time, very good time.
I mean, that's all that matters. It sounds like you got the red carpet royal treatment. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
And you only do it, you know, like once a year, so you know why not?
Exactly,
splurge
okay
a little
splurge.
Bit.
Exactly.
But I know that there have been some recent updates in the shave community. I do want to talk about those tonight. I also want to talk about some recent stuff as far as pop culture things that are going on, things that you know I geek about. I know that you're familiar with, and I want to get kind of your thoughts on some stuff too. One of the things that has popped up recently, and this is, of course, I'll also talk about some of my recent experiences with some hardware and whatnot that I know that you guys are kind of curious to hear about. One of them kind of, you know, I always feel like the community's one way or the other about it, so I'm curious to hear what you guys think after listening to this episode. But Tatara, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Tatara has recently released kind of a teaser about their upcoming. I think they initially sold out of the first wave, but I am on their mailing list, so there's subscriber list, so I should be getting notified when the next one comes in. No telling when that'll be. Hopefully it'll be soon.
Yeah.
But they released a adjustable razor, and I've heard nothing but good things about Tatara and about the razors they've released, like the Nagadachi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and the Matsumi, I think is what it's called. But they've released a number of razors that, you know, kind of appeal to different people. And I've seen the packaging. I've never purchased a razor from them myself. It's always been kind of one of those things where I've gone, ironically, back and forth between getting one of their razors or getting a Blackbird. I know probably eventually I'll get both. But that's been kind of one of my next big purchasing decisions is kind of between those two, which is funny because Blackland, and I said Blackbird, but Blackland is releasing, or they've been teasing an upcoming spring release as well. And it looks like it's using the Saber handle, but they insist it's not a Saber. It kind of looks like a DE head. But they say it's kind of an innovative new offering from them. So it's not your typical offering that you're going to see, which is like a three-piece razor. I am anticipating this is probably going to be another adjustable because it seems like a number of people are kind of dipping their toes in the adjustable market. I know Supply has been working on their own adjustable, and that's unique because it's an injector, Schick injector type razor. So an adjustable head on that one. I know there was another one that was released recently that's kind of a cheaper one you can buy on like Amazon and, you know, a lot of the other places. But this one seems kind of enticing. I've seen some teaser images of that on Twitter. And then, okay, of course, you've got the Tatara and you have the Blackland razor coming up. And again, I don't know if that's an adjustable, but it kind of looks like it, and they kind of seem to be hinting at that in the comments. So I follow them on Twitter. If you're not, a lot of these guys will either post stuff on Twitter or on Instagram as far as upcoming releases that you can kind of catch wind of.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend checking those out.
Are you a big fan of Twitter, Tim?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I have it connected to Instagram, so I have it to where, you know, everything on Instagram gets forwarded to Twitter. So if there are any followers on there, they can get that content too. Same as what I do on Facebook. I get some people that follow me on Facebook as well. But generally speaking, I don't really do anything on Twitter. I follow the news on Twitter and some of my favorite like tech personalities like Mr. Mobile and Jerry Rig Everything and stuff like that. But
okay,
I'm really not that active on Twitter. What about you, Yoast?
Not at all. And I don't know if it's just my age or if I'm just, I don't know. Seriously, like I don't see the appeal in Twitter. And every time I hear anybody talk about Twitter, they talk about like, what's like Reddit, how toxic it is.
Yeah.
And not just wet shaving, but just like the community in general seems to be on rather negative from the feedback I've gotten. And I don't know. I don't like it. You know, I'm a visual person. I don't like reading. Mm-hmm. I have severe ADD. So if I have to sit there and read something, I don't know. It's not for me. It's not a platform for me, and it's not something that I utilize. I have an account. I've maybe posted like two things on it, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny because I've always felt pretty much the same way about Twitter. I'll kind of like quickly scroll through and, you know, kind of check on what's going on, but I don't get anything too detailed on there. I don't go out of my way to find things on Twitter. I've never, out of all the social media platforms, I've rarely used Twitter for anything. I just have an account set up that's tied in with my Instagram. Mm-hmm. So that way I can increase that outreach.
Sure.
But really, I mean, I've been lucky because I do get notifications, again, from some of the artisans and some of the manufacturers out there in the shave space. So sometimes they'll share stuff on there they don't share on Facebook, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So that's been useful, but honestly, I spend little to no time on Twitter. Kind of like you, I really don't see the point. Most of the stimulation, most of the content that I consume is going to be found on Instagram, or it's going to be found on Facebook, or, you know, I can scroll over to see the daily news feed on my iPhone or the Android, whatever phone that I'm using at the time. I can get all of my, you know, the beefy news updates. I mean, I don't even really use Snapchat all that much. So, I mean, I kind of reserve all my time to very few social media apps.
Sure. Well, it's what works for you and what you find to be the most engaging and the easiest to consume, too. That's kind of what I've decided on as well.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I've tried the whole, like, there have been a number of times I've tried the whole like minimalist thing, like kind of trying to distance yourself a little bit from social media where it's not consuming so much time out of the day. You're spending time exerting that same energy on other projects, whether that's, you know, my time here in the den shaving or getting stuff set up, or if that's just hanging out with Tiff, or if that's watching movies or whatever that might be, working at work. You know, I mean, I've tried that and it works for some people, but I'm just so embedded in certain aspects of social media, especially Instagram. Instagram's probably the worst because I'm always on there seeing what's going on. Seeing how my content is doing, which we're almost at 2,000 on Instagram. That's been one of those weird milestones that I've always sought when it comes to, you know, just ever since I started sharing the wet shaving content, and that kind of started to blow up and grow pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Honestly, had I not dipped out for a while and stopped posting that kind of content, I probably would be there by now. But I'm not even near the same level as I used to be when it comes to posting content. Because back in the day, I used to post like twice a day.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you were daily for a while. Sure.
I was daily, twice a day. Oftentimes, I would do lives, share others' content. I do all sorts of stuff to increase that engagement. But you know, I go back and forth on still being, you know, more active on Instagram, but I'm definitely recurringly active on there, just not to the same extent where I'm showcasing a lot of things or I'm tagging a million different other people on posts like I used to. So the growth has been a lot slower, which again, sure, I've mentioned this in a previous episode. It's weird, the contrast between my Instagram growth and my YouTube growth, which has been steadily increasing on a regular basis. And I haven't posted any content on there in months. I plan on doing it. I definitely do. And I know I say that all the time, but trying to lose some of this quarantine, like 25 pounds before I get back in front of a video camera and say, yeah, let me talk to you about personal grooming, you know, and I'm sitting over here sweating profusely and all this other nonsense, you know, whatever. But trying to do that first. And speaking of, don't mean to keep just chatting about my life story writing a novel, but Tiff and I recently hit that 2-week mark after getting the second vaccination shot, and we paid our dues. You know, we haven't gone into any restaurants. We haven't been doing anything. Mm-hmm. Went out to a restaurant for the first time. It was actually, our 2 weeks was Friday. So we went out to a restaurant. I'm going to start going back to the gym.
Look at you.
We have a trip to Silver Dollar City planned next week.
Nice.
So, and then we've got Disney trips planned in the fall. And then I know we're going to go to Silver Dollar City more this year because we've got a season pass. But we've even got a cabin trip planned down to Broken Bow here in Oklahoma. So we've got a lot of stuff trying to make up for lost time. Really sure. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to kind of being back amongst the living outside of just going to work and coming home.
So do you think 2021 is the year where you and I are finally going to meet?
It's very possible. I mean, with the sheer amount of things that I would like to do this year, I honestly wouldn't discount it. Especially with me being up in Missouri probably as often as I will be, because Tiff and I used to, before 2020, would be going up to Silver Dollar City Branson on a regular basis. And I know that you're a couple hours away. St. Louis is a couple hours away from Branson. But still, you know, I totally think I've almost run into Riley a few times, or at least once when I was down there. We were both kind of in the same area, just never actually saw each other. So I'm sure, you know, whether it's, you know, us just meeting up in Missouri, or maybe, who knows, there'll be some sort of shave event that I can go to this year that we can both go and hang out and just chill, or who knows.
I'm just saying we need to make that happen.
I agree.
Sooner rather than later.
I agree. 100% agree, because I'm ready to get out and hang out amongst, you know, my friends and stuff like that again. It'd be nice.
It's funny because you've lived a totally different life the last year than I have.
Yeah.
My job, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, has not allowed me to work from home. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, I can't fix things remotely. So over the last year, I haven't been able to really change anything. I've worked every day. I'm in and out of people's apartments. The only thing that changed is wearing a mask and, you know, being extra diligent. I've always been a germaphobe. I've always been really clean about, you know, not touching myself, my face, and making sure my hands are clean. But, you know, I never let any of that bother me. And when restaurants were open, I was eating in restaurants. And you know, other than the mask stuff, I've pretty much lived a normal life, you know, all based on the restrictions of what St. Louis or wherever I was that was imposed. But other than that, I've pretty much haven't been stopped. And you, on the other hand, have been the complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of the people that I've, you know, talked to, like coworkers and stuff like that, are all kind of like, oh yeah, I still do a lot of the same normal stuff. I'm just wearing a mask now, or maybe I don't go do it as often as I did. But about a lot of the people in my immediate circle at work have just been living life as normal. And for the longest time, we were doing it, you know, not only to protect ourselves, but, you know, Tiff's mom is immune compromised. And they still, you know, wanted to see her, you know, while maintaining social distancing and stuff. And if they were exposing themselves to other people or not taking the necessary precautions, they would not feel safe enough seeing their mother, you know, because Tiff is always hanging out with her twin sister, Britt. So we just decided, you know what, we would take all the necessary precautions. We would pay our dues. We would hold back. And surprisingly enough, it didn't hit us that hard. There were times where, you know, I'm a natural introvert, so I handled it better, I think, than a lot of people. Because, you know, and I even heard someone say, you know, there's a difference between being an introvert and choosing to stay in and being an introvert and being forced to stay isolated. And I would say there's a lot of merit to that. But, you know, typically, you know, I'm content at just hanging at home with Tiff, happy as a clam, don't really care. But, you know, I did, you know, I went out and grabbed drinks with my buddies before COVID, you know, and I'd go out to the movies and at least go to restaurants and go to the mall and do normal things, go to Silver Dollar City and, you know, general stuff. And once you have that stuff taken away from you, even as an introvert, it kind of leaves you a little stir crazy a little bit.
Well, it's the difference between choosing to stay home and being told you have to stay home.
Yes, exactly. And that was the main thing for me. It was kind of like a don't have an option really to do anything other than what I was doing. But Tiff made that so much easier. You know, we got two cats kind of during that time frame, and they made it a blast. And thankfully, I had a flexibility when it comes to work. Not the entire period, but pretty much most of that time frame, I was working from home. So it was a lot of experiences. And Tiff and I realized, hey, you know, we can survive isolation and a pandemic together, that we can pretty much go through anything. And we didn't get on each other's nerves. So we didn't get in any fights. We didn't have any issues. So that was a positive. And, you know, we're coming out of this like now we're just going to go crazy. You know, we're going to start hanging out with a lot of family and doing out, you know, things outside. And I'm excited. It's a.
So you said you both have your second vaccine, your second dose?
Yes. We both, pretty much her whole family ended up getting theirs around the same time. My parents ended up getting theirs at around the same time we did. But Tiff, Britt, and I all went to the same clinic to get the Moderna vaccine at the same time. So
nice.
Yeah.
I got the Moderna too. I have the first one. My second dose is on the 20th of this month.
Nice.
I got, at least in Missouri, when the vaccine first started rolling out, Missouri was the last place. Like, it was in last place for amount of vaccines for the people who live there. But since I technically, I'm using air quotes, was technically working for the restaurant industry with the photography and stuff, I was able to be lumped into their like vaccination batch.
Nice.
So I was able to get it a little earlier than most people in Missouri was. And, you know, the fact that my dad lives with me, who's 83, he's got his now. He just had his second one too. He got the Pfizer. But, you know, that was the main reason I got it, is just because, you know, I didn't want to bring anything home to him. And I didn't want to, you know, give him anything. So I'm lucky I was able to get it, and, you know, looking forward to getting my second one and being done.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing, you know, once we got that second dose, you know, at first I didn't know you have to wait 2 weeks after for it to take effect.
Yeah.
And so I had reserved the whole day off. I at work, I had plans to go out and just go crazy. And then the nurse was like, you'll be good in 2 weeks. Shit. Well, it ended up being a good thing that I asked for the whole day off, because the first go around, it just felt like someone punched me in the arm pretty hard, and it stayed that way all day. Second go around, fevers, chills, couldn't sleep, felt really sick all that weekend. And my boss was like, good thing you asked off for Friday, because you had all weekend to recover before you came back to work on Monday. Yeah, and I'm like, because I was pretty terrible. And pretty much Tiff and Britt had the same reaction on their second shot. So if you haven't already, and you're about to take the second shot on the 20th, just prepare for it. Because
I've heard that. I've heard people saying with the second shot they got side effects. Luckily, knock on wood, I haven't been sick all year. When I got the first shot of vaccine, the next 2 days I was extremely tired. Just like I hadn't gotten any sleep, and I just wasn't. I had no energy, and just I didn't feel sick. I just felt tired. But I've heard from everybody on their second vaccine that they got some sort of symptom, some sort of just I felt sick of some sort. So yeah, I'm kind of mentally trying to prepare for that.
Yeah, and I would just say, because like you said, fatigue. One of the worst things during that weekend, it was like, no, it was not productive whatsoever. I didn't end up doing anything. I pretty much slept all Saturday because I didn't get any sleep the night before. Sunday, it kind of started to clear up. And then by Monday, no more headaches, no fever. I was fine. So
that's good.
Just prepare a couple days because it most people be pretty intense.
Yeah.
But
you haven't turned to a zombie, obviously. Right. So.
But you know, during that time, during isolation and stuff, you know, I know at least when I was on Instagram and when I was on Facebook following along with, you know, a lot of our fellow wet shaving buddies, a lot of people were taking that time to really, you know, engage a lot more on the shaving side. Cause I think we had to rely a lot more on the community to kind of keep us engaged since we weren't getting a lot of that social interaction.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of that, talking to a lot of you guys, a lot of you listeners out there. About different shaving things. I was trying new things, rearranging the shaved end multiple times, still working on that. I actually cut down on a lot of the shave gear that I have in the den and found out that I still have a little bit room for some new stuff. So I do plan on getting some new stuff soon. You guys probably saw recently that one of the new things that I decided to go ahead and try, I've talked about it before, that it's something that has been on my radar, was the Gillette heated razor.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We did. And I was like, you know what? I want to know what that's like. And after trying, I think it's called the Skin Guard by Gillette. Okay. I feel like after I tried that one, I really felt like that was one of their first razor offerings in a while that offered something unique and interesting. It wasn't irritating. It was pretty mild shape, but it felt really good when I was using it for head shaves. And I've since grown my hair back. It's not quite back to pre-COVID lengths and levels. It's getting there though. But I've been shaving my face. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to try it because I really like the heated effect. You guys know I love menthol, but I like heat as well. I use a scuttle every once in a while to get that heated lather and whatnot. So I thought it'd be fun. So I went ahead, went to Bed Bath & Beyond, got that like 25% off coupon and picked it up. They have a pretty good return policy too. So if I decide,
oh yeah, they do. Absolutely.
I want to go ahead and take it back, I can do that. No harm, no foul. But I've used it in 3 shaves. And I know a lot of you are curious as to how that's gone. And, you know, the community is very volatile when it comes to cartridge razors for whatever reason. I don't know if maybe it's people don't realize that they're inanimate objects. They don't care what you think. I sound so mean and so sarcastic, but I've gotten so many sarcastic comments in the past for just posting about the Skin Guard. I've had people that think, oh, he's gone back to cartridge razors. That's it. He's never going to use a DE or a straight or anything like that again. He's just gone off the reservation. Who cares? a razor's a razor.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's all about shaving. And yeah, of course, most of us came to wet shaving because we didn't like the cartridge razors. But it's all about exploring and figuring stuff out and trying things new. And if it's something that perked your interest, then who cares?
Exactly. And I think just based on my Skin Guard experience and the Gillette heated razor experience, I think Gillette is, and now they're offering, you know, the traditional DEs, the Gillette, the King C Gillette razor.
It's a damn good razor.
They're listening, I think, to feedback. And I think they're taking that and implementing some new stuff. The heated razor is the most innovative they've been in a long time. And so I had to know, I had to try it, and I've been trying it out. Tiff even remarked, she's like, that's a cool looking razor. And I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty neat looking razor, how it stands, how it lights up. It's got 2 different heating levels, you know, more intense versus less. And I've used it on the most extreme one every time. and it's not that extreme. I mean, if you leave your finger on the heating pad, you're going to get really, really hot.
Sure.
But as it's gliding over your face, it's super smooth, which threw me off because I used to use like the, before I was into wet shaving, quote unquote, I used the Schick Quattro and I used to use the Gillette Fusion, you know, with like the four or five blades.
Yep.
And I'd get a lot of irritation, like really bad. And I never felt like the shave was that close. So, I've always hated the, like the little gel bars on the cartridge little razors.
Gooey strips.
And I will say at least with the heated razor, there's only one gel strip on there, which I liked, and it didn't leave any sticky gooey residue like I felt like used to happen when I used to shave with a cartridge regularly. And the heat was noticeable. There was a noticeable warmth the entire time. Anytime I'd pass the razor along my face, felt the heat strip go down. It was great. Still plan to continue to use it, of course. But a lot of people are like, oh man, you know, the, that's great. You got the heated razor, but how about them cartridges, right? Paying, you know, and I will agree, cartridges are insanely expensive. That's where they get you. We all know
that.
Of course. Yep. But you know, I've seen people spend a lot of money in this community on what I consider to be stupid things. I've made those stupid purchases before on, you know, products that are, you know, going to diminish significantly in a short period of time and stuff that may not even, you know, smell that great. And yet I spent a lot of money on it. I think you see that in the community. It's just kind of like, where do you want your money to go? And how long are these cartridges really going to last me? Well, I can tell you a single DE blade lasts me for a while. So a cartridge, I'll get my money's worth out of that thing.
Yeah.
But I've been enjoying the experience. It's been getting me a surprisingly close shave. My face feels fantastic after I've used it. Now, it's funny. I'll watch people that are traditional DE guys try to use a cartridge razor and try to use it for comparisons. And it's weird watching them shave with a cartridge because a lot of the time they make the mistake of shaving with a cartridge razor the same way they shave with a DE since it's been so long. They'll just do these like short strokes over and over and over again on your face. And I'm like, with a cartridge, you don't do that. With a cartridge, you just run it along long streaks across your face. You don't shave the same way. And they're wondering, you know, why it shaves a certain way or has these characteristics. And I'm like, you need to use it right. And that's with anything in the hobby. You just got to know how to use the equipment you have. And I can't complain about it. Will I say that, oh yes, this is worth your $200. Please go out and buy a heated razor. No, is it kind of a gimmicky thing? Yeah.
It's a novelty, isn't
it? It's a novelty item, but you know, I say that in the same breath that I say that there's some soaps and aftershaves out there that people claim are going to give you this life altering experience. And I completely disagree with that. But if you want to spend $80-$100 for, you know, some soap and aftershave, because you feel like it gives you that slightly better experience than another product, then how's this any different? And you know, I've long kind of, I used to buy into it too, about, you know, what soaps and aftershaves can do for you. I'm more in the aftershave camp than the soap camp.
Sure.
I just used Williams Mug today and had a perfectly fine shave. No nicks or cuts or anything. Nothing untoward happened. But, you know, I know that it's all about the experience you want to have. And that's all I've got to say about it is that if you want to try something different and you're willing to invest the money as you would with any other things that you're kind of gambling on a little bit, maybe give it a go. Do the Bed Bath & Beyond thing where they've got a good return policy and you can kind of try it out. Bring it back if you don't like it. But honestly, so far, I have nothing negative to say about it other than, you know, yeah, cartridges are expensive. And, you know, I mean, the razor itself, though, it feels nice. It does what it says it's going to do. So I can't really fault it for that. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where I'm really bad about. I want to experience new things. I'll find razors that do it for me. I would say, you know, I've had this discussion. I don't think they want me to call them out by name on the podcast, but I've had this discussion with somebody else. And you know, we were talking about what is the best razor. And this is a person that I know that has used tons and tons of high-end razors, different products. And their favorite razor is the Rockwell, you know, 2C or 6S, you know, on like, you know, the main plates, and that's it. And out of all the razors they had, that would be the one that if they had to choose, they'd keep coming back to that one. But, you know, there's this thing. We want to try out different experiences, and I humbly think that probably one of the best razors all around for most people would probably be the Rockwell 6C or 6S, since you've got a lot of variability there, and it's such a smooth shaver, no nonsense, especially the 6Cs, very cheap. So, I mean, that's just the thing I feel like with the community, with this hobby, is if you just want to have a good shave, and you want to look good, and you want to feel good, you can do that for the bare minimum, and you can have a great experience. But if you want to experience something a little bit different, go outside your comfort zone, spend a little bit more money, kind of testing the waters on different products, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, even if it is coming back to something like a cartridge razor experience. Because again, the cartridge is just an evolution on an idea, and it was, you know, the DEs that evolved into multiple blades, and then we had the cartridge system, and then the rest was history. But it's just an evolution of the razor like anything else, and it's no different just because it's a quote unquote cartridge razor. So
can we expect a review for this razor?
I would like to do one, honestly. And I there have been so many razors. I want to do a review on the Yates Precision Manufacturing razor that Ken has been letting me use. I want to do a review on the Fat Guy that I picked up. I want to do a review on the Meta 4, or the Metaphor, I guess I should say it, like it's written by PAA. I want to do a review on a couple of razors, but definitely the Gillette Heated one, because I don't feel like there's enough reviews. I felt like Sharpologist was going to release their thoughts on the heated razor, and they never did. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a void from people that have been dedicated to the wet shaving community to post their thoughts and opinions on this. And I think it's because a lot of people haven't taken it very seriously. Totally get it. I understand.
Sure.
But it is something that I would like to do. And I've kind of organized the room in a way that I think would be, you know, really conducive to more video recording and stuff like that. I just need to kind of get in that healthy fitness phase to where I feel like, yeah, I want to be in front of a camera again. Not that I'm, you know, a 500-pound Jabba the Hutt character, but
understandable.
It's just one of those things, you know, where, you know, I groom and I take care of myself, not only because of how it makes me feel, but because I know that, you know, I'm keeping up my appearances. I'm looking good when I go to work. I get compliments on the way that I smell, but I also want to know that I'm also presenting myself in a way that I feel comfortable with.
True. So, understandable.
You know.
Understandable.
But enough about that. I could go on about, you know, products and stuff all day long. I know that, you know, you and I are nerds. There's no doubt about it. And there have been some recent releases, some stuff that's been out, a lot of things from, you know, what is it? Falcon and Winter Soldier. There's been the Snyder Cut. There's been Godzilla versus Kong. There have been a lot of things that have come out, and I, you know, if you guys are afraid of spoilery content, this is your warning. I might mention a few spoilers, and I'll say what the content is going to be about and when the spoiler is coming before I do, but just wanted you to be aware. But I guess I'll start off with kind of what started first in terms of big things, and that was the Snyder Cut. So I remember actually seeing, you know, the Justice League in theaters and thinking it was garbage.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I've got a lot of, I'm not a Marvel fanboy. I love Marvel. I love comic books in general. So I'm fine with DC and Marvel. I want them both to win at what they're doing. But DC has been very hit or miss for me. And there have been a lot of things. I don't mind that it's dark. I love the darkness of DC. I love a darker take on Batman, because a lot of people don't know that one of the scariest things in the comics is not when Superman loses it. It's when Batman loses it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with Superman, we all know he goes bad. He's going to kill or enslave everything. That's the thing. But there are so many alternate versions of Batman where maybe his parents didn't die, or maybe he was raised differently, or maybe it is the Batman we know and love, but something happens to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those alternate versions of Batman because it allows you to see, like he always talks about, you know, the moment that he decides to, you know, kill another person, that would be, he'd be able to justify that every time, because that's always the question, right? It's always kind of like, you know, okay, well, yeah, Batman does his thing, gets people locked up in Arkham. They break out, they kill more people. He follows up, takes them, locks them up again, same thing over and over again. And you see that perpetual cycle, and he knows this. But to him, he cannot cross that line into being the thing that he hates the most, which is, you know, these people, based on, you know, what happened to his parents. But there's always that question, like, why don't you just kill them? If you know they're going to keep coming back and hurting more and more people, you know, why don't you take that step? And that's kind of slightly what's alluded to in Batman versus Superman, which of course leads up into Justice League and what we were hoping for, not what we got, because they kind of freaked out. And I think Warner Brothers was like, oh, we need to make this colorful and more cheerful and happy. So we need to, you know, ring in all these stupid, you know, Michael Bay-like jokes, or even Josh Whedon jokes, because, you know, Josh Whedon's pretty bad about that too. But, and we got a Batman from Batman versus Superman, which wasn't great. Don't get me wrong, but it raised some intriguing questions on what a darker Batman could be, a Batman that's not afraid to kill or do certain things like brand villains, knowing they will die in prison. That was captivating and interesting to me because, again, this is a Batman that's seen some shit. This is a Batman that's lost Robin, probably Jason Todd, the Joker. And I was curious to see what that looked like, and they kind of pulled that back for me. And Batman's one of my favorite DC characters. So seeing the Snyder cut, seeing it go back to the original idea behind a darker, more serious film, I really like that.
I like the idea of that too.
And it's not that I don't understand the other stuff too, because we've all seen, at least I think most of us have seen Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, you know, where you've got, you know, goofy stuff in there. You've got,
it's cartoonish,
anatomically correct nipples on the suits. You got Batman ice skates. It's ridiculous, but it's campy,
yeah.
And it's more along the lines of the comic books. And that was the idea, was to be goofy and campy. And I'm not saying I like those films. I hate them. But when I was a kid, I didn't know any better. I was just like, oh, cool. It's Batman. You know, this is funny, you know, whatever. But, I just, it's hard to nail down Batman for me. If you nail down Batman, I feel like you nail down a lot of the things. And I feel like in the Snyder cut, at least, they got Batman back to being a little bit more serious, a little less, you know, joking, but you kind of saw the hope come back into Batman, which I really enjoyed. And same with the other characters too. We saw significant, like an actual backstory, character development of Cyborg, which was not in the original Whedon cut of Justice League. So I think, you know, really, what I really enjoy about the Snyder cut is that we're getting, because again, this is this is a really long movie. This is, I think, 4 hours long, as opposed to, I think, the 2 hours of the Whedon cut version of Justice League. So we're getting more character development. We're getting more time spent, even getting to know Steppenwolf, which they did a complete CGI rework closer to the version that we saw at the end of Batman versus Superman with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to understand, and again, Steppenwolf's not the perfect villain or anything. I still think comic book films are working to create a really captivating villain, one that you really enjoy. I think Loki's pretty close. I've got an idea on some Marvel developments there in a minute. But you know, I think DC, I think this is a new step forward for DC, though Warner Brothers has said that they are not making this one the canonical, you know, cinematic universe version for DC. But it's interesting that they say that, because the new Batman that's coming out with Robert Pattinson, which I'm looking forward to, by the way, because it looks gritty, it looks dark, it looks good.
Yeah.
I think that's what DC needs to do, is make these adult, more adult-centric films.
Sure.
And, you know, make them stand out from Marvel, which is, Marvel has plenty of substance. Marvel has been great about character development, because we've seen, you know, them take a lot of these characters and give them individual films to build to a point. Mm-hmm. And most of those films haven't taken themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
But DC doesn't need to just need to do a copy and paste. They need to have their own unique thing. I think they're getting there. The new Suicide Squad looks really good. That's introducing an interesting character, a villain called Starro. If you've never looked up Starro before, it's a kind of a goofy starfish kind of villain, but it's perfect for the Suicide Squad. There's a lot of really interesting developments, I think, that they could really run with. Because, again, Robert Pattinson's Batman is in an alternate universe. They've already said that this takes place on Earth 2. And if you're not familiar with the comic book layout of DC, there's multiple alternate realities, alternate versions of Earth, which you typically learn of through Flash, because, of course, he's the one that can bend time and go through multiple dimensions and multiple realities and all this other stuff. But, yeah, there's different Earths, and Robert Pattinson's Earth 2 is not that much different than the one that you're typically used to. It's just there are a few differences. So I'm curious to see what that's going to look like, how it's going to fit into the wider picture with, like, Aquaman and stuff, or if they're going to have to reboot the whole thing. I've heard talk about everything under the sun, but all that to say, I think they should make the Snyderverse, you know, Justice League canon. I think they should just say that this is the official version, and the original Justice League is no longer part of that mainstream universe, because I think there's a lot of really interesting possibilities there that they introduced in this film, and how they rewrote the characters into more compelling characters that I could actually sit back and say, huh, that was a good narrative decision there. Not everything in the Snyderverse was perfect.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not just singing it praises for praise's sake, but I do think it did a much better job at doing what it needed to do for the DC universe in cinema, over Justice League and even over Snyder's earlier work with Batman versus Superman, which had a lot of promise, but it had a couple of lows and introduced some interesting dynamics there, like a really wonky CGI, I want to say Apocalypse, but it's not Apocalypse. It's Doomsday. Okay. So,
well, and for somebody like me, who's very big into cinematography and videography too, it's just amazing how much a director's cut and change to a scene can totally change the outcome or the feel of the video. Whether, like, if you look at the original versus the Snyder cut, not only is, like, the cuts different, and it's the first movie in history that they've refilmed stuff, but the color grading alone can set a tone for the video, or, like, the way they would do a wide angle shot, or the fact that they decided to shoot it in 4:3 aspect ratio.
Exactly.
Makes all the difference on how a film can portray the story they're trying to tell. Not only is it just the camera guy, but it's who's doing the editing, how the stuff is portrayed, you know, how everything is set up, how I can totally set a different mood.
Mm-hmm. And I think
that's big.
I think it's huge. And I think that was probably one of the biggest strengths on the Snyder Cut version are those individual creative takes, you know, whether it was, because again, I felt like the original was so oversaturated. There were so many bright colors. It was supposed to portray a more lighthearted mood. And again, that was the intent. That's the whole purpose with the more bright scenes and colorful moments and comedic humor, misplaced though it was throughout the film. It's trying to portray a certain kind of narrative, a certain kind of artistic direction there. And when you go back to what it was originally intended to be, which were more grays, you know, like they turn the saturation way down. And originally Snyder wanted it to be a black and white film. Now I do feel like that by itself would have been a hard sell. Yeah, I agree. Feel like 4 hours would have not worked for the, for theaters. I think it coming out on HBO Max 4 hours long was perfect for it. I think that was the best place for that to be released, but the 4:3 IMAX ratios. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to stay true to that vision. And I thought it looked great. At first I was a little skeptical about it, but I watched the entire thing straight through, no breaks, and I loved it. Admittedly, I haven't watched the new black and white version that they also released too. It's the same thing, just black and white. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed the direction that he took. I loved coming back and seeing the more heartfelt moments, the darker themes throughout Justice League, which really I felt like upped the stakes, and you feel like, this is really intense. Like there's a lot of shit going down versus the original where you feel like everything's super rushed. They're introducing a whole bunch of characters for the first time when that was originally released and you kind of just don't care. And it was just a different film.
One thing that I've been noticed and I've heard other people talk about is, you know, everything is shot in 16:9 now.
Mm-hmm.
And your superheroes are supposed to be big and tough and strong. Somebody mentioned that being in the 16:9 ratio, everything's so wide and open that it makes the superheroes look small. But when you do the 4:3, everything's cropped and zoom in, it makes everybody look big and powerful.
That's a good point.
That's kind of one of the reasons why they shot in that, or why he edited it in that aspect ratio, because it makes them cropped bigger. They fill up more of the frame. And from a technical aspect, like that's something that I appreciate. And I think that's something that a lot of people might overlook or not even think about.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd 100% agree with that. And it was definitely a different experience because, of course, I'm not used to seeing that type of ratio outside of actual IMAX. And I haven't been to the IMAX in forever. But actually seeing this come back in such a unique way and watching the movie that way and actually really enjoying it, I would not mind seeing more films framed that way at all. And I'm one of those that will, you know, pinch to zoom all my YouTube videos to fill up my entire screen. I'm really bad about that. But, you know, I would love to see more films shot that way. Now, again, do I think that's going to happen? No. Realistically, no, probably not. It's not going to happen. It's a unique instance. But it was nice to see that. Even if films just gave me the option to put something in a specific format, I would love that too. But I just think Snyder Cut, it was a good thing that, you know, again, people were able to, this is the era that we live in. It's not just cancel culture. You also see this culture of promoting material that used to give it, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, these businesses, these corporations wouldn't have given a, you know, hell or high water what we would have thought. Go on Twitter and complain. Why the hell would they care? But you get enough people nowadays on social media that say something in regards to, hey, you know, maybe look at this casting decision for this role. You know, release the Snyder Cut.
Here's a perfect example. Did you watch the Sonic movie?
No, I haven't. I need to, though, because I love Jim Carrey.
It's really not a bad movie. It's really not. Especially if you're a fan of Sega and Sonic and the whole genre. But that was a perfect example. Yeah. Is they put out this like human-like Sonic.
This horrible trailer.
It was destroyed. So they went back and delayed the movie and redid everything. And it was for the better. And it made it a much better movie. Sonic looked like Sonic. He didn't look like this weird freak furry blue guy. It looked like Sonic. So that proves that, you know, the power of the people on social media nowadays can sway how people make stuff.
And they spent millions, I heard, on that CGI reshoot of Sonic. But it would have bombed had they released it in the state it was in. Because, I mean, that was the first thing. That was the first thing that I noticed on that trailer was, like, Sonic has teeth?
Yes, human teeth. Yeah, it was
It was gross. It was messed up. And I'm so happy that they decided to go back through and do that again, because sometimes, you know, I think sometimes nowadays companies will do this. They'll kind of release an idea. It gets leaked, quote unquote, or something like that, which is not what happened with Sonic. It was just a straight out trailer that was released. But I feel like you know, the gaming industry does this. I feel like we're starting to see this with the film industry, where certain new big news items about the film or about the narrative or about the story or whatever comes out, people provide their feedback, and then that's no longer in the final version or, you know, whatever, which I think is, it can be a good and a bad thing, because of course you can see that start to compromise the original creator's vision on what they want for that thing. But in certain instances, like you said, Sonic and like getting the Snyder Cut released, again, we live in an era where we're able to do this sort of thing, which I think is awesome. And I look forward to more of it. But of course, there have been other things that have come out. We had Godzilla versus Kong, which I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I've been a Godzilla fan since I was a kid. I used to have Godzilla action figures, Mechagodzilla action figures. When I was in Ready Player One watching that, and Mechagodzilla showed up. I mean, I'd read the book, so I knew Mechagodzilla was going to pop up. But when I saw it in theaters, it was awesome because I love Mechagodzilla. I just think he's so cool. And then I knew, and I'm sorry, guys, spoilers ahead. I knew Mechagodzilla was going to show up in Godzilla versus Kong. I knew it because I'm like, again, huge Godzilla fan. And the way that the cinematic universe has been popping up for Godzilla in recent years after kind of Godzilla was rebooted, has been that he's a protector, that he's kind of trying to help, you know, save humanity from other titans and other things that are going on. But of course, the whole narrative in the trailers was that Godzilla's, for whatever reason, attacking humanity. Why is he doing that? And, you know, I'm like, he's doing it because humanity's doing some crazy shit. And of course, it makes it seem like, you know, that Godzilla's doing this bad thing and Kong's coming to save us and all this other stuff, which is not what the movie was about. It ended up being, of course, Godzilla could sense that they had used one of Ghidorah's heads from the previous film to help create a Mechagodzilla. And, you know, there can only be one alpha. Godzilla is the alpha. Kong is kind of like a rival alpha to him. So you kind of, they kind of portray it in this light that if Godzilla finds out where Kong is, then, you know, they'll have that throwdown and Godzilla, you know, basically the alpha has to be, you know, bowed down to by all the other monsters. And if that doesn't happen with Kong, which Kong doesn't bow to no one, then shit's going to go down, which it does. But I was glad to see that they basically, you know, they did this whole movie. It was really, really well done. One of my favorites of the recent films that have been released, though I would say the original Godzilla that came out just a few years ago, and I say original, I mean on the rebooted universe. Was probably my fave. But this one was really close, and it was because, you know, of course you have, you know, two titans going at it, Kong, Godzilla. It, and those scenes didn't disappoint. The CGI has come a long way and it looks great. The human story in this one versus, you know, King of the Monsters with Ghidorah, significantly toned down. No one wants the humans involved in that kind of a story. It's the same thing that we ran into with Michael Bay and Transformers. Like, I loved Transformers when I was a kid. I loved the War for Cybertron games and stuff like that for the Transformers stuff. And then when you actually get to the films with Michael Bay and like what he likes to do, it's like a human story with these robotic transforming things in the background. You're like, that's not Transformers. And it just ruins everything. And I wouldn't say that King of the Monsters was terrible, but that whole human side of the storyline significantly didn't do it any favors. And thankfully in Godzilla versus Kong, that whole side storyline is significantly diminished. It's much more about Godzilla and Kong, and that whole narrative. But thankfully, they kind of team up together at the end to take on Mechagodzilla, which is a monster. But it was a great film. Huge. Like, I mean, this is a film that I would like to go see in theaters now that I'm, you know, can go back to theaters and stuff like that. But it's definitely worth a visit to your local theater. If you can go get tickets and if you play it safe, I would highly encourage you to go see this film.
Well, I think a lot of things is too, is that when people are making movies, they don't necessarily think about the fan base. They want to appeal to the mass audience. So they say, well, where can we add extra stuff that'll relate to other people? And then that fucks over to your main core audience who are there to actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of gives a lot of those types of movies a bad rap.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think that's what a lot of people are nervous about when it comes to Space Jam, right? Since a lot of us grew up with Space Jam. Hell, a lot of us grew up with Michael Jordan. And, you know, we loved seeing him play. I remember when Space Jam came out when I was a kid, and I loved it. And it's been one of those nostalgic things that I go back to all the time, and I love it because I love basketball in general, too. And when they announced the new Space Jam and they released the trailer, I'm excited for it. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be good because I love LeBron. I love the Looney Tunes. And I think the idea on this one seems pretty solid. And it doesn't seem like they're straying too far. I just hope they don't get in over their heads with going too above and beyond to appeal to such a mass audience.
Just let the story do the work. Let the whole genre do the thing. Don't try and change it just to appeal to something different. You know, if it's worked before, it's going to work again, in my opinion. And like you said, Space Jam is great. I also have a very guilty pleasure for, like, the Mighty Ducks. You know, in hindsight, the movies are pretty corny and stupid, and they're very unrealistic. But, you know, I'm very nostalgic to them, and I will watch them over and over again.
For sure.
Just don't fuck it up. Don't change what worked before. I think, you know, it was made the way it was for a reason. And just try and complement it. Don't try and change it.
Exactly. Don't try to, you know, reboot it. And make it something that it's not. And that's, I think, where I get really worried with a lot of modern films. When they start announcing things like, oh, there's going to be a new Indiana Jones movie, or there's going to be a new Space Jam, or there's going to be a new... You're like, is it going to be kind of just a progression of that storyline without getting too wild? Or is it going to be, you know, typical modern wild take on the old stuff? Which...
Yeah. My biggest worry is they try and just capitalize off the name and then go their own way.
I am not, I can tell you right now, I will sign every anti-petition that is available online that doesn't do jack squat for anybody, but I will sign it if they ever try to do a remake of Back to the Future. It's not happening.
Oh, yeah.
I won't do it. That will get me upset. There's a few things out there that would really rile me up, and then that would be one of those things. Indiana Jones is pretty close to that, but I've heard that the new... The direction they're going with the sixth film is supposed to be pretty hearkening back to the originals. So hoping that's the case. I know they're bringing John Williams back for the score. They're doing a couple of really good moves for that film. So I'm excited. But again, just don't screw with my childhood, man. Don't screw with the way that I was raised and what I saw and what I've enjoyed, you know. A lot of people will be like, well, you've got your films and you know, what's wrong with this one? Well, it's taking the name and it's messing with that idea. And I think that's where I have the biggest problem with a lot of stuff is when you really try to screw with that narrative and screw with the audience that's still alive, that's still around to be able to enjoy that stuff and kind of make it into your own thing.
Yeah.
So we kind of saw that a little bit with Star Wars, but you know, it's not anywhere near as bad as some of this other stuff I've seen.
So one thing for me that really didn't sit right with me was the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory remake with Johnny Depp.
Mm.
Because the original one I loved fondly as a kid. And I remember my two kids at the time, I think, I can't remember what year it came out, but I think I only had two of my kids at the time and it was getting ready to be released. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to have my kids grow up on the new movie. I'm going to have them grow up on the original.
Right.
So before I took them to the theater or wherever they saw the new one, I made them watch the original. And of course, when they saw the new one, they're like, this sucks. And I'm like, yay, I was a good dad because I made them watch the original first. Because I think that's kind of like anything. You see, whatever you see first is what you're kind of fond to. So I made sure I made them watch the original and they appreciated that one and they didn't care for the second one.
And I think that is one of the big risks is that you can run into a situation where, you know, I mean, who knows? Tiff and I, you know, may eventually have kids. You never know. Or I might eventually have kids at some point down the line. I don't know.
Scary thought.
Right. Tim's running around. Can you imagine? But, you know, that would be one of my things is, you know, raise them up on the original stuff. And that's not just a selfish thing. That's just, you know, let them be the judge of what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah, and if they would have liked the new one, if they would have liked the new Willy Wonka more than the other one, that's fine. But at least I expose them to the original and the classics and let them form their own decisions. But like everybody else, I think they kind of realize, hey, this is what started it. This is the way it should be. Anything else from there, if they don't stick to the formula, then they're like, hey, this doesn't feel right.
Right. And then they could still at least cherish the original and be like, okay, this is the real deal. This other thing is its own unique thing, like Willy Wonka, good Lord. That, you know, the one with, what's his face? Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It was odd.
He's odd too, though.
With like, yeah, I mean, the whole idea of like Willy Wonka is just kind of an interesting thing. But, you know, when you take Tim Burton,
he does is kind of odd and dark anyway.
Yeah, and you attach him to something like Willy Wonka. It's an interesting, you're in for a ride. And they add some interesting like narrative options to the new Willy Wonka, like his whole dad background, Christopher Lee thing. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But I could go all day on films and stuff like that. I know, you know, that you guys are probably like, what does this have to do with shaving? And I'm here to tell you
it has the worst.
Absolutely nothing to do with shaving. And if you don't like it, there's the door. I'm just kidding, guys. But seriously, if you don't like it, you know, that's just the thing that you're in store for in this show is that we talk a little bit about everything. We don't just talk about shaving all the time. You know, Yost and I are big nerds. We love all sorts of stuff out there. So we like to talk about things outside of that space, whether that's our personal lives, other projects going on, or, you know, pop culture and things that are happening out there right now that, you know, I would love to see someone release a soap themed around Looney Tunes and Space Jam. But, you know, who knows? Somebody get on that. Right? But, you know what? With that, guys, you know, we've hit past the hour mark. I thank you so much for popping on the show. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I know I had a great time. I love talking about stuff. I could honestly go all day long on my thoughts on Marvel characterizations. Again, there's plenty that I'd love to talk about when it comes to Marvel and upcoming villains. And I think things that they're doing to establish finally that really, really good cinematic Marvel bad guy or bad girl, you know. Yeah. I think that's the direction they're kind of going in, but I'll leave that for another episode. There's plenty to talk about there. Yost, did you have any thoughts before we close out tonight?
Only thing I wanted to say really quickly is that Riley at First Line Shave is going to be releasing The Wait on Thursday. I think it's the 14th of April. And obviously he'll be doing his trifecta. I think he's going to have a few custom Mojo brushes, which is super cool. I've seen a couple of them. I haven't seen them in person yet, but Riley sent me a photo of his. It looked fantastic. I've always wanted to own a Mojo brush. So if that's something you're into and you're into First Line Shave, definitely keep an eye out on that because it's coming soon and it's a really good release.
And what was the story on The Wait?
It has to do with dealing with PTSD. Not anything in particular, but anybody who's deal with traumatic events. So the scent itself is kind of geared towards that or dealing with that situation in general. And that kind of has to do with the actual scent notes itself as well. Whether, you know, it's like there's gunpowder, there's alcohol, and just, you know, just the fact of dealing with hard situations. Like the picture on the logo is awesome. It's got like a heartbeat. It's got a heart with blood squirting out of it. And I think this is probably one of his most ambitious releases yet. Plus, it's his first original fragrance, not a dupe. This is something he's been working on for like a year.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's very excited about this one, and I'm excited for other people to check it out. So keep an eye on First Line Shave. I think this is going to be a really good release for him.
Definitely. And keep in mind, guys, again, that if you want to follow, you know, some of your favorite artisans, go follow them on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. That way you're not going to miss out on news events like this where there are going to be upcoming releases. You can set reminders. You can follow up. That's what I do. I take screenshots of posts and I save them to my phone and I follow up later, or I'll set reminders if they're available. Mm-hmm. So definitely do that so you're not missing out on some of these releases. Because again, sometimes some of these releases are limited releases. When they sell out, they sell out and that's done. But thank you again for including that for Riley and First Line Shave. And if you guys have anything else that you would love to hear mentioned or talked about here on the show, please feel free to do that. As I'm scrolling through, I try to take note of certain releases, things that are interesting personally to me. And I'm in the space right now where hardware is the most interesting thing to me right now. But if there is a specific soap, maybe you're the artisan and you want us to talk about it. If there's a new hardware that I haven't seen that you're very curious about, let me know. And that way I can kind of make a mental note, jot it down, and we can talk about it on the show. But thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time on WSPE.
Have a good night.